As I've mentioned in the past, these Pesach Shirim are dedicatedly Louis Nishmas Basha Bas Yosef, my sister-in-law, who many years ago, when listening to these Shirim in Detroit through TCN, and I would ask her at this time of year, I remember asking her, would people rather have another Parsha Shir or more in Pesach? She said, people are in the Pesach mode. Do more Pesach Shirim. So in her schus, Lilui Nishmata, I've been doing every year one Pesach Shir, which is the general Shir, which was last week's Shir. And then this week is something more specific on the Haggadah. Many of the ideas we have seen before, but Ein Beis Medrash Velo Chiddush, we'll see some ideas tonight that are, I think, that were Chiddush for me, and I'm sure for many other people as well. The part of the Haggadah that I want to deal with is right before the Eser Makos, right before the 10 plagues. The Pasuk says, the Hebrew is in two, the English is in one. Vavarti Be'eretz Yitzrayim Balayim Lazeh, V'keiti Kol Bechor Be'eretz Yitzrayim Me'adam V'Be'imah, U'Bechol Elohim Yitzrayim Me'aseh Shvatim Ani Hashem. That Hashem went over Egypt, and he took us out with an outstretched hand, with a great awe, with signs, with wonders. And then the Haggadah emphasizes that Hashem took us out not through an angel, not through a seraf, not through an agent, but the Holy One, blessed be He, in His glory Himself. Hashem Himself, and this is the pasuk I just began with, Vavarti Be'eretz Yitzrayim, Hashem Himself passed through the land. Ani, V'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo shaliach, ani Hashem, ani hu v'lo acher, I am Hashem. Number of questions I'd like to raise. Question number one is, the rule of Ayer and the Steve Shalom in source number two, Madu b'men hayta makat b'chorach b'chreach, ha'yidei ani Hashem echoto b'atzma. If all the other plagues happened through a shaliach, why couldn't makas b'choros, the plague of the firstborn, also happen that way? Further, why was it necessary for Hashem Himself to take us out of Egypt? Could it not have been as he was allowing Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, being the emissary throughout? Why could it not have finished off with him being the emissary? Why was it necessary that Hashem, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, only Hashem, no angel, no emissary, lo shaliach, only Hashem took us out? What's the significance? And we'll see Mirtz Hashem two answers to this question. Obviously, it's a lot more. The second question. We know the Chumash tells us in Shemot Yudbet Kaf Gimel 12:13, Pasuk says that people should not, the Jews should not leave their house at night. Why? V'lo yitein ha-mashchit lavo, so that the mashchit, the angel of death, should not enter into the house. Well, hold on a second. So I understand v'atem lo tzitzu yishpetach beito ad boker, that you're not allowed to leave your house. But why are we talking about the mashchit, the angel of death? Did they not put blood on their doorposts that Hashem should pass over the houses? Do we not just say that Hashem was the one coming down and not the angel of death, ani v'lo malach? So who is this mashchit? Who are the children of Israel afraid from that suddenly, you know, this mashchit, this angel of death may appear and when Hashem is the one who is orchestrating the night, there's no angel of death. How do we understand this? And there are many answers to this. The classic answer is that no Jew who is supposed to die that night will die, and that's through the angel of death. But we'll see three approaches to answer this, and we'll see how some of the approaches really dovetail with the first level. And then finally, what's the implication of this for our lives? When we're sitting at the Seder night and we're saying this, Ani Hashem, Ani hu v'lo acher, I am Hashem, what should we be thinking about? What inspiration should be pulsating through us as we experience this? And in general, what's the message for us? Level number one, what's the idea that Hashem Himself has taken us out? So the Asufos Varachos, Rav Goldsmith Satzal, asks another question. The Pasuk in Hosea says, Source 5, U'benavi hala Hashem et Yisrael me'mitzrayim, u'benavi nishmar. Through a Navi, Hashem raised us, took us out of Egypt. Well, hold on a second. I thought Hashem took us out without any shaliach. So here Rav Goldsmith explains in Source number 6, quoting the Beis Halevi, the following. When we take a look at the idea of Teva, the idea of the natural world, we understand that Teva is banuya chukiyot kvuot matmeda. The Teva has a natural order. The sun rises at basically the same time every day and sets at the same time every day. Right? There's a Seder. The stars come out. Everything in the natural order, right, seasons, work according to nature. And there are chukim. There are laws that are established, that the laws of nature follow, right? Laws of gravity, things like that. And he says, when we look at the world of nates, the world of miraculous, we think that the world of miraculous is without hukim. It's like, wow, broke nature. It doesn't have any laws of its own. Truth be told, says the Beis Halevi, no. That even the laws of nature, the laws of Nisim, even miracles have a structure to them and have laws to them. And he notes, he says, that Olamos Halyonim, the end of six, Shehem Mekor HaVayash Velashalanu, Einam Chashuvim Neis Klal. Very often what we look as miraculous in the world of heaven, when you look down from above, it's not even natural. It is natural. It's not even miraculous. So, for example, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are saved from the burning furnace, or Daniel saved from the Gova Rayo, from the lion's den. That, in the view of heaven, is not a miracle. These are tzaddikim. These are righteous people. This is what's deserving to happen. The law of nature only works that when a person is deserving of punishment, there is punishment. When a person is not deserving of punishment, there is no punishment. Ah, we call that a miracle. In heaven, that's called the law of natural miraculous. That this is the way things work, that a person who is righteous, who does not deserve to get punished, that this will not happen. V'shem zeu davar tivi, shalotei pogad, b'mi shadine, natzricha lifkoa. One does not deserve to be punished or be involved in this. It won't happen. There are a number of times where even the miraculous aren't sufficient. Chelek, Chaluk mikulam, huneis makas bechoros. In that makas bechoros, in Yitzia Mitzrayim, kan itrachesh neish shaya lepela gambo lomos al yonim. This was something that was miraculous even in the upper world. V'sharasham shel dvarim na'utz al palgei ha'yesod shenachalu b'mamar yurchet, ki Yisrael b'mitzrayim hitbatlu l'tarbut ha'shlitim adonim v'itarmu ba'al legamrei. The problem was in Egypt, Halalu of Devarah Zorah, Halalu of Devarah Zorah. Both worshipped idols. The problem in Egypt was the fact that the Jews were not deserving. They were in the 49th level of impurity. So when do we see miraculous things happen when people are deserving? Ah, what happens when Klai Yisrael isn't deserving? So then Hashem has to take a place which is Lamala Minateva. When all the heavens are closed, Hashem has to be breaking through a gate of chesed, which is allowed, hefer marechet ha-tchuka, nisid ha-yonah v'ga'alam, and come down himself and redeem them. Parenthetically, this is very similar to the Purim story, where again the Jewish people weren't worthy, and again Hashem bechvodo v'atzmo had to come down and save us. This is the Chatira Shel Chesed. This is what the holiday of Pesach is about. It's a time of tremendous amount of love. And it could only happen through HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because they were Jewish people, were not deserving of being redeemed. The imagery that he speaks about in source number 8, it's a very famous imagery of Goy, Mikarev Goy, that were taken one nation from another, like an ubar, like a fetus being taken from its mother, where it's painful for the fetus, it's painful for the mother, and kivyachol, it's painful for the one delivering it. It's a difficult birth. That was the way the Jewish people left Egypt. And we understand, as the Nesivos Shalom points out in source number 10, that Klal Yisrael were not in any nation, they were immersed in the Egyptian culture. And Egypt was the heightened level of Tumah, was the heightened place of impurity. And therefore, the only being that could come down and break those forces of impurity, Hashem couldn't even send a malach, an angel, down there, because they would have been affected by the impurity of Egypt. Only Hashem could break through all of those impure milieu of Egypt. And that is why in the arrow in 10, Vavarti Beretz Yisrael, Anivalo Malach, and Dimipnei Shebechol Elohei Mitzrayim Esah Shvatim, because Hashem was doing justice to the gods of Egypt, because it was a time of breaking through all the barriers of impurity, Hashem himself had to be able to come down, and nobody else could be able to take the Jews out. So on this first level, why is Hashem taking us out? It was necessity, both from the terms of the Jewish people who weren't deserving, as well as the terms of the place, the nation they were immersed in, enslaved within, not only physically, but spiritually. And therefore, the only way to be able to take these people out, to break through the klipos, all the shells of impurity, was for Hashem himself, kivyochol, to come down. But I want you to know something, my friends. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down in this way, and because we were born in this way, this creates a different reality for Klal Yisrael. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol orchestrated it so it should be exactly like this, because this is the defining point of what Klal Yisrael are about. Rabbi Tatz in Living Inspired in source number 12 points out the following. Let's return to the moment of midnight in Egypt. The problem with more time in Egypt would not have been the contaminating effects of Egyptian impurity. That danger had long since ceased. No, the problem with more time in Egypt would have been more time itself. The redemption had to occur keharaf ayin, in the blink of an eye, because the alacrity is necessary for a event to remain spiritual. Had we left Egypt slowly, naturally, in a relaxed fashion, we would have become a natural people. The Jewish nation was being born. The moment of birth had to be transcendent because everything goes after the beginning. We became and remain a spiritual people because our beginning was spiritual. Our moment of formation occupied the absolute minimum of time, and since then we have lived on the edge of the physical universe, at the edge which interfaces with the transcendent, the divine. The terrible danger of more time in Egypt would have been the time itself. That is the impurity which is meant here, the impurity of a nation destined for spirituality, becoming merely physical, merely natural. And now we understand what was happening at this moment. At the moment that the firstborn were being killed, we were born. At that moment, we, B'nei B'chari Yisrael, the Jewish people who are called the first, was being born at this moment. And as Rav Emanuel Bernstein in source number 15 points out, it's very fascinating that we know, the Gemara tells us in Tanis, that there are a number of occasions where HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give over things to a shaliach, to an emissary, where Hashem is personally involved in these items. And we know the acronym for them are Mafteach, Matar, Rain, Pei, Parnasa, Livelihood, Tav, Tchia, Tametim, and Chet, Chaya, Childbirth. And that's why when a woman gives birth, it's a very, very potent time for davening, because Hashem kivyachol is found at that moment. Likewise, the moment of death is a powerful time of tefillah as well. Now we understand, he says, that when Hashem took us out, this direct deliverance leads to an entirely new dimension, because here the embryo is moving, as the Maharal explains, the transition from potential existence to actual existence. We are being born now. We are being born, and only Hashem can perform this, who represents the ultimate existence. Thus, in keeping with the nature of the Exodus as that of a birth experience, Hashem did not entrust it to an angel, but delivered us himself. The night of Pesach is a night of birth. It's a night, as we'll talk about at the end of Mirat Hashem, it's a night that we are reborn almost every single year, if we could use that imagery. It's a night of freshness. It's a night of newness. It's a night where we are able to tap in to those elements, as we spoke about last week, V'achshav kirfano makom lavadaso. It's a night of tshuva. It's a night of connection. It's a night where we are being born as a nation and we are being born as an individual in order to come closer to Hashem. So idea number one, very, very basic idea, is that Hashem had to take us out himself because he had to create this birth. We weren't deserving. It was a difficult birth, and it was difficult to extricate us from the tumah, the impurity of Egypt, which had such a hold on us. That's why we had to kill their god. It had to be mamish, a break between that impurity. An angel coming down would have been tainted by the experience. Only Hashem himself could produce this in terms of helping us out and in terms of creating who we are, a nation of transcendence that exists ad hayom hazeh until today. Let's take a look at the second aspect, and we'll begin to see how a picture is developing. Sifti Chaim Rif Chaim Friedlander Zatzal points out that echad meyesodos in the arom hamuna shelamedim anu mehagata. One of the major fundamental ideas we learn from the Haggadah. As we've spoken about for years, my friends, the Haggadah, Pesach night, it's a night of transformation. It's a night of change. Vasher tofes ba'makom nirchav, that has such a major motif. This is like a major theme in the night. Huvayatzin Hashem b'Mitzrayim, that Hashem took us out. And you see this from the very beginning of the Haggadah, in the squiggly line. Avadim hayinu l'paro b'Mitzrayim, we were slaves to power in Egypt. This is how the Haggadah begins, Magi. Vayatzin Hashem l'keinu misham, and Hashem himself took us out. V'ilu lo atzir kash brocha v'tein b'Mitzrayim, had Hashem not taken us out. This is the theme. Even the idea of now Hashem has brought us closer. This is the idea in the Dad in 17, when the pasuk talks about Vakach et Avicham et Avram Evernar. I talk. Hashem is the one who is taking the initiative. Hashem is the focus. Vakach. Hashem is the one who we're focusing in on. The night is about the night of a Kodesh Baruch Hu seeing how everything he has done is b'chvodo u'ba'atzma. This helps us explain, my friends, that very famous question of why is the major focus of the learning se'ulamad on the Seder night from the Parsha Bikurim, from those four psukim that the farmer says when he brings the first fruit to the Kohen. Why don't we take directly from the book of Shemot and tell the story? Why am I taking those psukim and darshaning out each and every phrase from these psukim? And the answer now becomes clear. Because what's the whole point of the Arami Ovedavi section 19 is Hakar Satov, is to say thank you Hashem for giving me these fruit. And we know in 19 Ela Hayodu Matarak Yitzhiya Mitzrayim Haytaka Katuv Beltziyacha Eta Amim Mitzrayim Tavduna Telukim Alarazah. And the whole point of leaving Egypt is in order to serve God. Ubim Yuchad Avaraz Hashem Akavalon Amuchot Shemayim Mitoch HaKaratot HaTov Al Yitzhiya. And it's really taking on the yoke of heaven through showing gratitude for what Hashem did. The night of Pesach is a night to intensify our feelings of gratitude, of understanding how much we owe Hashem and how much we're ready and want to serve Him. So therefore, the very section which is screaming out, the word Hashem appears over and over again in that section, the very section which screams out, thank you, thank you, thank you, that's the section we darshan on Seder night, because what are we screaming out tonight? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for putting us in Egypt, because that is what trains us to be in Eved Hashem. And thank you for taking us out so now we can be your servants, as we've spoken about. That's the night. But you know what, my friends? And here it's a gewaltic idea. It goes one step further. And that is, Yesh Levayer B'derech Losef at the end of 19. The asterisks of 19, Lama Hadrashe Kariba Gadim Parsha Mikra Bikurim. But you know what? There's something even deeper here. And that is when a person brings Bikurim, there's a natural feeling when you see that first pomegranate, when you see those first grapes, it's like, ah, look what I did. Oh, I worked so hard, and now, look! Look what I've accomplished. And my friends, it's not just pomegranate and the grapes. It's a feeling we have on whatever we do. Ah, look what I've done. The eye, which is the challenge in Pesach cleaning as well, that gaiva that gets in. I've cleaned four rooms. I've done this. I've done that. I. It's chametz. The night of Pesach is to realize there is no I. The night of Pesach is bittul. The night of Pesach is nullification. The night of Pesach we wear white, the kittel, to nullify ourselves. The night of Pesach we've gotten rid of all the chametz, all the gaiva, all the ego, and now we're ready to be able to have matzah, humility. So when this person brings the first fruit, what they're really saying is, it wasn't me, because I planted and I worked and I toiled and I fertilized and I therefore have this fruit. It's making a statement, Hashem, I realize that you have enabled me every step of the way, and this first fruit is really yours and not mine. And that's the message of the Seder night. The message of the Seder night is that I am yours, Hashem. And I realize that you are in charge of my life in the entirety of my being. Every aspect of who I am. And that's the message of Seder night. And I am here as just a shaliach, an emissary, to do your will. And that's the deeper reason. One of the other reasons given in the Dot at the end of 19, why we choose this section. Because had we chosen a section from Sefer Shmot, you would have Moshe Rabbeinu's name on every other page. We don't want to focus in on Moshe Rabbeinu. We only mention him once in the Haggadah. And it's only a passing reference. Because the night isn't about Moshe. The night is only about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Though I will mention in 21 that, and this is the godless, that we're here. Hashem uses us as emissaries. But we're secondary. We're hidden. Moshe is hidden in the Haggadah as well. If you look at the end of 21, it's bolded. Ani velo malach, I am not an angel. Malach is mem. Ani velo saraf, I am not a saraf, which is another type of angel. It's a shit. Ani velo hashaliach, I am not the messenger. Hey, spells out mem, shin, hey, spells out Moshe. He's found there. I am not a malach, I am not a saraf, I'm not a shaliach. It's not about Moshe. It's about me. Anihu v'lo acher. And that's what we have to understand. The night of Seder in 22 is the night of Amzu Yatzarta Li. This is a night that Hashem has created in order to have Dveikus, in order to have connection to Hashem. The night of Seder is a night where we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intense love. That it's not just he's running the show, that we've missed the boat. He is in charge and with tremendous love. With tremendous, vision, he's chosen us to be the chosen people. And Hashem coming down as 23, and Nesiva Shalom explained, V'akola godel avatoy barachat Yisrael, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great love for us, he came down to a place of total impurity. El toch avi avo satuma. So what should we be feeling the night of Seder? We should be feeling a tremendous amount of love. We should be feeling in 27, the Siva Shalom, the feeling of Sameach Biyoter. Ki inyan yitziyah mitzrayim milvad etzem ha-ge'ula, aside from just being redeemed, kalal gam ha-sha'av niyu Yisrael ha'am ha-nifchar. We are the chosen nation. This is a night of simchas erusin, a night of being engaged to Hashem, a night of relationship with Hashem. My friends, this is the theme of the night. So as I sit in my Pesach Seder, and I contemplate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came down to redeem me, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in a relationship with me, and this is a night where I have taken out all my gaiva, all my sense of self. When we scrub and we clean, it's really scrubbing and cleaning within ourselves. It's a cathartic experience. That those who go away for Pesach don't get that same experience. It's an avoda. It's a positive avoda. It's a growing avoda. I sit at the Seder night, although everyone can have this experience whether you go away or not, and we've worked on ourselves with humility. And we know Hashem can only rest in a place where the humble are. And indeed, on Seder night in 25, when we sit at the Seder night, we should feel that we're sitting, Shoshvim Yachad, says the Sichos Bavarat Hashem, Im Kol HaPamalya Shamala, with all the entourage of above, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochul is sitting at the head of the table. And that is why, and we've spoken about this many times, we have to sit Be'ema or Be'yira, we have to sit with awe, with the understanding that, we're not breaking up the hallow for nothing. The hallow's before the meal, the hallow's after the meal. The meal itself is hallow. The meal itself has to be a place of Kedusha, that you're sitting at Kadosh Baruch Hu's table. So let me ask you, my friends, if you would have, to make it a little bit more concrete, the schus of having Rav Chaim Kanievsky, or any gadol that you're familiar with, come to your table for Shabbos. Let me ask you, what would the conversation revolve around? Would you be talking politics? I doubt it. Would you be talking sports? Nah, I doubt that. Would you be talking Lashon Hara? Nah, that's out the window too. So what would you be talking about? You have Rav Chaim there. You'd be talking Torah. You'd be listening to Chiddushi Torah. You would just be, sitting there. I had this experience once recently where we had a certain Maggie Cheer at our house. And I told my kids, this was a few years ago, I told my kids, like, you got to be on, like, super behavior. But not like super behavior, but like super, super behavior. I'll tell you, that whole Shabbos meal, I was sitting like this with trepidation. Like, you know, like, everything had to be just perfect. And the conversation had to be just perfect. I will never do this again. Blee neder. Maybe I shouldn't say never. But, like, you know, it was intense. My friends, that's how we have to imagine this Seder table to be. So the night of Seder is not a night to talk politics, it's not a night to talk sports, it's not definitely a night to talk Lashon Hara. All those kids who weren't lachs that you didn't have time during the Seder because you had to move the meal along, you tell the kids, you have X amount you can say during the Seder, and the rest we want to hear over the meal. And prepare beforehand. I've said this many times. Take a Sefer like Rabbi Spiro, his Haggadahs, his Sfarim, or anyone you like. Rabbi Prozansky just has one. Someone just told me, I haven't looked at it yet, on stories of Amunah at the Seder night. And tell stories. Tell stories of Hashgacha Prati. Whatever is going to grab your audience, who you are with. There are a lot of Haggadahs out there, more than any other Sefer. Take something that's going to be able to draw the crowd with you that you can discuss, but plan beforehand. Make the meal of Kedusha. And if it's difficult, then make a shorter meal. Serve a little bit quicker so that you'll be able to have that momentum in place. And obviously, we know in 26 that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is here, b'chvodo ba'atzmo, at our table, so then it's an opportune time to daven. We've spoken about for many years after eating matzah, to matzah mitzvah, throughout the Seder, times to mamish, be able, wherever you want, to turn to Hashem. He's right there. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach. Whoever needs, open your mouth. V'yifsach, pesach. The mouth speaks, and be able to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu because he's sitting right there. However, Nosa Sifte Chaim, and this is a very important idea, albeit it's important and it's necessary to ask, and that's part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has structured our relationship with Hashem. However, we know that the Rambam writes in 30, Klalo Shel Dover, La'olam Yitzak Adam La'ati Lavo, a person should scream and ask Hashem for protection about the future. V'yivakesh Rachamim, and ask for mercy. V'yitein hoda'a ma'ashavar, and a person has to be careful also to thank Hashem for what he has done. V'yodea v'yishmach kefi kocho, you should thank Hashem according to our ability. V'chol ha'marbe lahodos et Hashem, and one who continuously thanks Hashem, u'l'shapcho, and praises his tami, harei zeh mishubach, is praiseworthy, ringing in our ears. Yes, it's definitely a night to daven. However, the focus of the night is hallel. Hallel before the meal. Hallel after the meal. The meal itself is hallel. The whole idea of Mitzrayim is to be able to have a relationship with us. And as the Siftei Chaim notes in 28, HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned each and every one of us who was going to come out of Egypt. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. V'chol amar be'areis ha'meshubach. Thank you, Hashem. There's so much to thank Him for. On a national level, on a personal level, thank you, thank you, thank you. Uchol hamar beharei se meshubach, this is the night. And as the Siftei Chaim elsewhere in 31 notes, where he says, Tachlik yitzei Mitzrayim mikevalat omachut shamayim, the goal of the night is to have the yoke of heaven on us. Umi shehu kafui teva, but one who is an ingrate, v'eino makir model anisim v'riflo shenasu b'yitzei Mitzrayim, and you're not able to thank Hashem for all the miracles that occur, you're not able to what? To be able to take the yoke of heaven. One is connected with the other. You have to be able to say thank you. You have to have a relationship. You have to realize that we are indebted to Hashem. We have to realize that I can't do it all by myself. I have to realize that Hashem is the one running the show. When I understand all of this, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelu Abde Hashem, as we've said so many times, is really the height in line that we should get up and dance. Hallel. It's so powerful. Sing it with all full force. Really feeling emotionally. That's what the night is about. That emotional connection with Hashem. So my friends, also summarize the first two ideas we've seen, and then we'll move to the second question. Why did Hashem have to take us out Himself? One is, we weren't worthy. The tomb of Egypt was so great. This was the moment of birth. Hashem Himself, Kivyochol, is giving birth to us. creating us as a nation, a transcendent nation. The second idea is for us to infuse within us the basic emuna that nothing exists in this world without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He is the only entity in this world. And we have to be able to recognize that everything we have, our pomegranates, our grapes, everything we have, only comes from Hashem. And that ability to say thank you to Hashem is the core of what the night is about. And that's why before Pesach, we get rid of all of our chametz, we get rid of our gaiva, we get rid of I. Stop saying I, it's not about me. Bechaste Hashem, with the help of Hashem, with the graciousness of Hashem, I'm able to, X, Y, and Z, be able to have the correct perspective. The night of Seder is a night where we infuse within us that emunah, it's not about me. And I'm able to sit with that humility, eating the matzah, in front of Kivyochol Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And yes, I ask, and yes, I beseech, and yes, I'm dependent. However, even more so is the ability to thank, the ability to appreciate. And when I have the ability to thank and appreciate, I develop that deep, intimate relationship and have the ability to be mekabel malchut shamayim, to accept all that Hashem imposes on me, because that relationship is so strong and so special. Having said this, now let's go to our second question, and we'll then come full circle. And that is, well, if Hashem was the one who personally took us out, that angels weren't able to do it, and Hashem wanted to make sure we understand this fundamental idea that He's in charge, so what's this idea of the mashrit, literally the destroyer, this angel, this malach hamavet, where does he fit into the picture? So I'd like to share three approaches. Approach number one is the Siftei Chaim, which we've seen before, quoting the Netzivim of Elashin Emek Dover. And that is the famous question in 35, well, how exactly did the Mecharos die? So he explains that they have Makazu Mecharos Dafka, the Makas Mecharos happened on them specifically, Sheesh Bahem Ezes Skulat Kedusha. They have a higher affinity toward holiness, and therefore when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, B'chvoldo ba'atmo, He created the reality that these B'chorim, who have a higher sensitivity to Kedusha, felt like a spiritual charge that just like blew their system, like, you know, putting the wrong electricity into a current, right? Oh! They felt Hashem's presence, that it was Hashem coming down Himself that created them, that their souls just left them. They weren't able to hold this level of Kedusha. And hence, was Emuvuar, the end of 35, Gam, Nesa, Gadol, HaNes, Batzla, Bechorim Yisrael. Now we understand the great miracle why the Jewish were saved. Ki L'chorat, Tmei Agdolah, Harei Makas Bechorat, No Dal Bechorim Yisrael. Wasn't Makas Bechorat for the Egyptian? Why would the We even think that there has to be a miracle for the Jewish children to be saved, and that's why they have, you know, fasting, Erev Pesach, etc. Eli, Yishlomar, Shigam, Bechorim, Yitzrayim, Oyu, Madrega, Shichlu, La, Seytit, Galur, Hashem. They also felt these galus of Hashem. They also couldn't handle it. They were also in a sakana, and Hashem had mercy on them and saved them, and that's why the firstborn indeed fast, because they say, thank you, Hashem. We were also in a sakana. We also could have been killed. That still doesn't answer our mashchit. Where does he come in? So in 36, Rav Kram brings the Beis HaLevi, who says the following. He says, Makas Becharos Garmalus Sirchon V'Ipush Asher Ba'ofen TV Garmulu Magefa Shitpashta Miyaber Kravei Mitzrayim. What happened was the firstborn died according to this level, but when they died, and lo aleinu, you have all these dead bodies around, we're talking about in the large numbers, it created a plague, right? All these, we know all this impurity and physically all these bacteria start coming through the air, and many other people died. And that explains what we say in the Hallel Haggadah 37, Lumake Mitzrayim Bivchareyim, killing the Egyptians through the firstborn. It means because the firstborn died, as a result of that, many other Egyptians died on that as a result of that as well. And this explains in the pasuk that we say by Rabbi Gamliel, V'amartem zevach pesach hu l'Hashem asher pasacho batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, Hashem passed over our houses, v'nakfo et Mitzrayim, when He smit Mitzrayim, v'bateinu etzil, and our houses He saved. Well, isn't that clear from the beginning of the pasuk that He skipped over our houses? No. The beginning is talking about Hashem skipping over. The end is talking about it, Batenu Hitzil, from the Magefa, Shinotzra, Bikvot, Makas, Bechoros, from that Magefa, from that plague we were saved. And that is, that was where the Mashchit came. The Malach HaMavit came, creating this plague and killing many more people than just the firstborns that died. That's one approach. Approach number two, Rav Kram brings, is a very interesting idea. That when Hashem came down on the second approach, he didn't kill the firstborn. What did he do? He hit them, he smote them, and they were meparperi meshekol alayla. They were, it's hard to, when I asked my daughter to explain this word, she says, Ima, you really want me to explain it? It's pretty gross. I said, no, I got the picture. It's like they were withering. They were like, parpar is the butterfly. They were like fluttering, but in a very grotesque type of way, the entire night. And only in the morning did the Malach HaMavit come and actually destroy them. On this, my friends, the Tam V'Das Rav Sternbach offers what I thought was like a Chiddush Gadol I had never seen until now. He says, in the morning the Malach HaMavit came and killed them. That's the Mashchit. So don't go out, so you're not affected by that Malach HaMavit. And now I can appreciate, says Rav Sternbach, why in the morning the Egyptians were so anxious to get the Jews out. Leave. Shechashvu ulai yesh tikva, the double underline in 39, shayidei ze yisharu abecharos bechayim, v'im kena yitziyah atzma, dahaynu makas becharos hayta asiba yishira litziyah, hayta yidei kodesh baruch hu bechvalu atzma. Aval amita bepoel nasta yidei melech hamavet. Why were the Egyptians so anxious to get them out? Because they thought that if they would leave, these fluttering firstborns would be saved and not die. And they thought that this was their chance. If we could just get them out of here, the Jews, fast as we can, we would save the firstborn. Albeit, that didn't help. L'makeh Mitzrayim b'vchareihem, kilu lam chasto, they died anyway. So according to this second interpretation, Hashem just began the process, and the Malach HaMavet was the one who finished it off early in the morning. And that explains the pasuk which talks about Kiliko Bechor Biyom Hakotiko Bechor Beretz Yisrael, on the day that I killed all the firstborn. So again, you could say Biyom is not Dafka day, it's a time. Or according to this Dafka, yes, the firstborn, although they were, you know, hit, so to speak, attacked at midnight. When did they die? It was Bayom, it was during the day. The third approach, which I think is probably the most fascinating and brings us full circle to where we began and will then be the segue into our last aspect, is a beautiful idea from Rav Sher Zatzal, Melechet Sichos Musar, the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva. And he says, we have in the Dad in 40, a klal be'ahava, a law in love that the Ramban teaches us. She's here a katuv at Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. The Jewish people were warned, shelo yitzu mipetach beitam balayla hu, not to walk out of their house. Why? Lefnei shekadosh baruch hu over b'Mitzrayim kemelech shover mimakom l'makom. Because a kadosh baruch hu kivyochol was going from place to place that night, and therefore, shelo yifka bo adam velo yistakel bo. V'chein v'haya ba'avur kvodi v'samticha b'nikrat tatzur. This is a powerful idea. We know throughout that if one would look directly, kivyachol, at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or at the time when Hashem himself comes down to exact punishment, that person cannot, right? Kilo yirani adam b'chai. They can't live through the experience. Hence, we have Moshe Rabbeinu who's told that, you know, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and you'll see my back, not my face. Hence, we have, as the Sichos Mussar notes based on this Rambam, Ancient Lot, Mrs. Lot, who turns into a pillar of salt. Why? She looks back and she sees the moment of retribution. What she's seeing is Gilui Shechina. She's seeing revelation of godliness. You can't seek revelation of godliness and live. At the moment Hashem is going through Egypt, He's going through Vavarti Bechorot Yisrael Anivalomal Chetetra. Hashem Himself is going through the land, and He's killing the firstborn, however level you want to understand it. That's a moment of Gilui Shechina. That's a moment of revelation of godliness. That's a moment of direct divine retribution. This is a moment that a person cannot visualize because you won't be able to live. And therefore, don't come out of your house, because if you come out of your house and you will see this Gilui Shechina, this divine revelation, the Mashchit is the result of seeing the divine revelation is, you're going to be killed. That's the understanding what the night is about. Aniva lo malach. The Mashchit will come as a consequence of anyone who would dare go outside and look at this divine experience. And that's the power of the night. The power of the night is Gilui Shechina. And that's the power of the night in our homes as well. That's what we have to open ourselves up to. And it's very difficult. We have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. We have to see ourselves as if we are re-experiencing that Gilui Shechina, that divine revelation. We're just that they sat in their houses knowing that the Shechina is all around. And they're doing mitzvot Hashem. That's how we have to feel, that intensity and that love. And what we have to be able to emphasize within ourselves is, as Rav Gamliel points out, Dvarim Yiduim Heim Avakach, Zericha Adam Lashrish Bilibo in 41, V'lechiotim Zebet Tadiru Shekresh Baruch Hu Asav Osev V'yaseh L'chol HaMaisim. Hashem is the only one in charge. And even when something is done through a shaliach, through an emissary, it's Hashem who's the one who's running the show. The emissary is only a pawn in Hashem's hand. And he says, Ze'agilui shel alayla zeh, this is the revelation of tonight. Sheneida, that we should know, Sheshum davar lo kareh mibladei Hashem yitbarach, nothing happens without Hashem. And everything else are levushim, they're all clothings of the shlichus of Hashem, of the God's emissary. V'imadam choshev sheyesh yitbarach erod l'masha kareima, and if you think there's something else going on that has nothing to do with God, simanu shenimsa adayim begalut Mitzrayim, it's a sign you're still in the exodus of Egypt under Paro, and you haven't gotten to be an Eved Hashem. The goal tonight is to be able to realize I am a servant of Hashem, and He is the one who's running the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see everything is the Yad Hashem. And this explains the Or Gedaliah of Gedaliah Shores at Psalm 43, the idea that we say, Ani hu velo acher. I am Him and no other. And he explains that the idea of Ani, based on the Pasuk in the end of the Shira of Hazinu, Re'u ata ki Ani Ani hu, Ani nikra, Ani is called when you're able to see the Hanhaga b'Isgalus, you're able to see Hashem's revelation clearly. V'nikar b'toch habriya. And who, third person, is Nistar. And what we have to understand is there's no difference between Ani and who. And that's what our lives are about. That even when we're in darkness, even when we're in exile, even when we're in the darkness of night and the who experience, Ani hu v'lo acher. I am the who. I am the one who's running the show. The night of Pesach has to be able to emphasize within us that closeness, that relationship with Hashem. Which leads us to our final idea, and it's gewaltig. Rabbi Kluger, My Soul Desire, 44. The first night of Pesach is called this night. Night symbolizes Hester, darkness. In the physical sense, night is a time of darkness, when one's view is blurred and it's hard to distinguish shapes and colors. Likewise, the inner meaning of night is Hester, a state in which godliness, the inner truth of the world, is imperceptible and blurred. The Seder night is this night, and the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the concealed truth of the world, or the night of the world became so clear and visible that Kromitzi pointed to with a finger, look, everything is godliness. Here's the Creator who runs the world. Well, that's why we say, I will go through the land of Mitzrayim on this night, and I will strike every firstborn. I am Hashem. I am not an angel. I am not a seraph. I am Hashem and no other. And Makkas Bechoros, the Jews were spiritually redeemed for the impurity of Mitzrayim, is revealed to the world that I, Hashem, I control the world. I am no other. Without any blurring of the doubt, leaving no option to ascribe any power in the world to other intermediaries. That's the great Mora Gadol, the great awe of tonight. And it's interesting. David HaMelech says, even darkness will not be dark 45 for you, and night will be bright as day, as darkness so is the light. That's the night. Kayom, Kalayla Kayom Ya'ir. The night is bright as day. That's the night of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. In what way is it bright? Anihu velo acher. I see God in all aspects of my light. It's able to see that vision, the brilliance of Hashem's presence. And that is why on this night we say Hallel, which we never say on any other night of the year. Because tonight, the inspiration of the revelation of the divine returns every year on the night of Yetzirah Mitzrayim. On every Yantif Hallel is only recited by day, but on Seder night we say Hallel, because this night is considered as day when godly truth shines bright and clear. Chazal's wording, the question asked at the Seder is, Manishna Laila Zeh, why is this night different from all nights? When all of the nights Hashem existence is concealed, on this night, godliness is revealed to us. The essence of Seder night is this night, a time of tangible Gilui Shechina. As we sit around the Seder table, recounting the miracles of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, we can connect to the wonderful godly revelation of that time and make Hashem existent a basic, tangible reality in our hearts. Let's summarize, my friends, and we'll end with one gewaltig idea of Rav Kluger. Yirtzeh Hashem. Ani v'lo malach. Why are we focusing on this? One is, no angel could have taken us out. We weren't deserving. The impurity of Egypt was so great. Hashem had to, so to speak, birth us to be a nation. We live on the world of transcendence. That's level number one. That's clear. Idea number two, to focus in that we should understand that there is no other being. When you take those pomegranates and grapes, it's only Hashem who's creating this. The night of Seder is the night of Hakaras HaTov. And indeed, we know the Sfarim say that if we would take all of the mitzvahs that we have done from the beginning of our childhood till the last day on earth, it would not even add up to one ability, all the mitzvahs we do, to say thank you to Hashem for shining the sun on us for one day. Do you know how much chesed Hashem does for us? Do you know how much kindness He does for us? Do you know how much, you know, within our physical bodies there's so much godliness and so much greatness and so many miracles? Do we thank Hashem? The night of Pesach is a night of Gilui Shechina. It's a night of pushing everything else aside. It's a night where we get rid of the chametz. It's the matzah. It's the humility. It's making room to bring Hashem into our lives. It's making room to bring Hashem into our soul, into our existence. That matzah is the michlo demnusa, the bread of faith, where I understand so clearly it's not about me. It's not about all that's happening. It's about a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'ba'atzmo. And He kivyochol sitting at my Seder, and I'm going to conduct my Seder accordingly. Where does the Mashkit come in? Idea number one. Kadosh Baruch Hu killed the Egyptians, but just by His presence. B'chvodo u'ba'atzmo, that was the Gilui Shechina. As a result, the plague killed many other people. Idea number two, Hashem hit the Egyptians, and then they were fluttering around until the Mashrik came in the morning. That's why the Egyptians were hurrying for them to leave. Idea number three, it was Hashem's presence itself that we couldn't see. That's why we couldn't go out. The Mashrik is the consequence of seeing Gilui Shechina. The night of Pesach for us is a night to feel Hashem's presence. Ani hu v'lo achir, laila kayom ya'ir, it's clear as day. The night is a night talking about Amunah. That's why Hashgacha Pratit stories are so important. And that's why it's so important to talk about, even when I don't see Hashem's hand, you see that Hashem is there, and to strengthen our Amunah. And even in difficult times, ani hu v'lo achir, there is no other who's orchestrating every moment. Listen to this idea. If we understand that the night of Seder is a night of birth, at Yetzirah Mitzrayim 47, Am Yisrael's inner identity was revealed and became clear and obvious. The Ari HaKodesh refers to Yetzirah Mitzrayim as the birth of the Jewish nation. A little baby who knows almost nothing knows who his mother is. Other people might be playing with him, but the minute he needs something, be it food or change, he will spontaneously leave everything and run to his mother. Without understanding in his mind, he instinctively knows that she is the one to go to. A baby's connection to his mother is an integral part of him from birth. Our inner identity, 48, as Jews, children of Hashem, becomes clear and tangible to us, and every other external classification becomes secondary to it. Our strongest reality in life is our inherent connection to Hashem. That's what it means that we've given birth tonight. That when I am born tonight, it means I recognize Kivyachol who gave birth to me. I recognize with such clarity who my mother is. So all year round, I might be running to this doctor and this financial analyst and this one and that one. Pesach Seder, I turn to the only one who intrinsically I know who this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a native connection. And indeed, the Sfarim say that the eating of the matzah on Pesach is like a child, kivyachol, nursing from his mother. It's the most perfect food. It's a food of tailor-made for the needs of this child. The first food we eat as a nation is the matzah. When we eat this matzah, we should feel like I've been given birth. I have been born. It's our birthday today, Mazel Tov. And I am eating the first food that is so perfect for me. And it's a moment of deep connection. I close my eyes and I'm able to feel Hashem Kivyachol holding me, Hashem loving me, Hashem taking care of me. And that is the emotional, intellectual feeling that we have to be able, the omnipresent oneness, that we have to feel the night of Seder. And my bracha to all of us is, my friends, that we should be zocha to orchestrate our Seder with the Siyata Deshmaya, with davening beforehand. Hashem, please help me make my Seder one which is going to be inspirational, one that's going to make people feel connected to you, Hashem. Help me find the right pieces, the right way to orchestrate the different types of people in my Seder, that it's going to be an experience, that it's going to have that liveliness and that vitality that it needs. But it's also going to have the seriousness and the focus that it needs. That every person looking out there, whatever age, stage in life, is going to be able to point. Ani, who's that? Ve'ezehu, you're able to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're able to feel. That ani hu v'lo acher, there is no other, both in the anis in life and the who's in life. Hashem is the one who's in control. Achak Hashem Sameach.